The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
Hey, welcome to our summer series. I'm so glad that you can join with us. I hope that you can keep up as we go throughout the summer. If you miss a week, you can always go back online and keep up. We're going to go through 10 ways in which God wants us to enjoy life by looking at the 10 commandments. I'm pretty excited about it. This week, we're starting with number 10 on coveting, as you can tell by the video. So welcome to my neighborhood. Welcome to my life. I struggle with coveting. I think by the end, maybe you'll see that you might struggle with it too. So let's get going into this series. But first, let's open in a word of prayer as we begin this journey. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you care about each of us. I thank you that you have an amazing plan for our lives. I thank you that you care about every detail and you care about our struggle. I thank you that you know our hearts and you know where we struggle following you. I pray that wherever we're at today and throughout this series, that you, by your gentle Holy Spirit, would come to us and teach us through your word. Would you show us a way in which we can grow in our relationship with you, in which we can start to begin enjoying life in a fresh new way. So we look forward to walking this journey with you as we go through your word. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Well, we're looking at the Ten Commandments. And maybe that doesn't sound all that exciting to you, but I think it's fascinating. I really believe this. I believe that God's desire for each of us is that we would have a fantastic life. Sometimes we look at commandments and some of those do not and do as kind of offense. And some people in the world will tell you, you know, God's just trying to hem you in. He's trying to protect you. His word is limiting on enjoying life. And sometimes when you grow up as a teenager or a young adult, you start feeling that way. You're like, do I really want to follow God's word? It feels like I'm being hemmed in here. I feel like I'm not free. What I've learned as I get through those years is sometimes I don't think it's offense at all. I actually think it's more of a guardrail. God's word to us is a way of protecting us. And so as we look at that, I think this. I think the commandments of God are given to protect our enjoyment of living life. I think the commandments of God are actually to protect the enjoyment of doing relationships with one another. And I think the commandments of God help us enjoy our relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, as a parent now and having kids kind of grow up to adulthood, I can't remember a time when I gave them, you know, rules of don't do this or do that because I wanted to like keep them from having a good time. I didn't do that. Now, sometimes I think the rules maybe kept them from having a good time, what they thought was a good time. But as a father, you learn that everything I'm asking them to do or asking them to avoid or stay away from is actually so what? So they'll grow up. They'll enjoy life. They'll learn how to enjoy all the benefits of life and relationship with other people. And I want to protect them. I want to protect them from pitfalls of life, the hurts of life, the hang-ups that can come when we do things outside of God's design. And so if I can figure that out as a father who is not perfect, for sure, how much more than would our Heavenly Father want to guide us into the life that is abundant life? And that's actually what Jesus said. Jesus said that he came that he would give us life, life abundantly, and life to the fullest, and that a relationship with him makes life enjoyable. And so as we look at these Ten Commandments, I believe that there are ways that we can look at doing life today that will protect us from hurting ourselves, from doing life in ways that break relationship with him, break relationship with other people, and actually rob us of enjoying life all together. So let's look at the first commandment, which is the 10th commandment, because we're going to go backwards throughout this journey here, the 10 commandments. And so let's go, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 5 throughout this series, looking at the 10 commandments. So feel free. It's an easy read. It's a few verses there for you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21 says this, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servants, his ox or his donkey." Now, some of those you might be thinking, okay, that doesn't apply to me at all. That's why I showed you the video, because yeah, you might not, you know, covet your neighbor's ox or donkey, but they have vehicles, they have trailers, they have all kinds of things, right? or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so this command is not to desire things that other people have. And that desire of coveting really involves lots of things, right? It involves this desire and ends up in jealousy, and it ends up in envy, and it kind of destroys a good relationship actually with your neighbor. And God's whole design in this was that his people would learn to depend on him for provision, that God's people would experience the blessings of God and be satisfied with God's provision for them. And so he longed for them not to look around, not to look over the neighbor's fence, not to look at other nations, not to desire the way that they did life, but actually be content with what God was providing for them. And that's actually very much what they did. One of the first things they did was desire to be other like other nations. And they asked God for a king. And they asked God if he would let them function outside of just having him as king. And God eventually gave them over to their desires. And sometimes that actually can happen to us as well. But God's plan is that we would learn to be satisfied within the boundaries of what he's provided. As Sophie read, she read from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talked a lot about setting our eyes not on temporary things, setting our eyes not on the stuff that we can gather, the things that are going to go away where rust and moths destroy, where we would long for things that other people have. And he said to us, you know, you shouldn't long for things like food and drink and clothing and all these things and building up treasures here on earth, because that's so temporal. But we need to set our eyes on the things that God provides for us, which actually are everlasting or eternal. And so Jesus talked often about that. And you want to go there, I would encourage you as we go through this series, also read alongside of it the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus kind of unpacks for people a lot about the Ten Commandments in practical ways of how it works itself out. And so that's a great couple chapters for you to learn and to study and to look at as well. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are to do that. Now, some of the problems with trying to overcome coveting. Now, first, let's admit we covet. Okay, I'm going to admit that right now in front of you. We covet all the time. And there's problems when you try to overcome that. And I think there's a couple of those problems. The first one is this. We're constantly bombarded with messages that ask us to not be very happy with what we have, right? I mean, we're constantly reading things about what other people have. We are on social media all the time, you know, and we look at coveting other people's vacations. We covet other people's pictures. We covet other people's relationships, vacations. We covet people's, you know, stuff, their cars and all those things. Even marriages, right? And here's the thing about social media that kind of like drives me nuts. And you need to know this, and I think you do, but let's just remind ourselves, what you see on social media is not real, right? It's like the smile and take the picture and post it. But you know that smile of that couple and that family does not look that way. In fact, you all know that before that family was taken, like they probably were yelling and screaming at each other and the kids were running in circles and then they stopped and they got a perfect picture. So you know that the perfect picture world that we're bombarded with really doesn't exist out there. The funny thing is, so I borrowed my friend's Corvette, by the way. That's not my car. It's a beautiful car. It's a 2019 Z06 supercharged Corvette. It's a great car. And we were recording that video literally at my house. And at the end of that video, someone came by. We had lots of kids, of course, coming by looking at the car. And this adult comes by and he looks at it and says, "That's a really nice car." And he says, "Hey, I'm just wondering though, what year is it?" My friend goes, "Oh, it's a 2019. And he's like, "Oh, but have you seen the 2020s yet?" And it's just, that's the problem with coveting. You know, like the minute that you have something that you think you actually want, it becomes obsolete in this world. And all of a sudden there's a better one out there. There's a newer one. There's a faster one. Whatever that is that you're desiring and coveting. Coveting does not actually get us what we want, which is internal satisfaction of life. Coveting is like seeking all this external happiness, that if I can just bring things around me, if I only had what they had, if I only had that or this, then I would feel that feeling of contentment. Is that what you're looking for? Hey, here's the thing. Once you've been around this a few times, we know deep down that actually is not going to do it. The brand new whatever, the brand new car becomes old the minute you start driving it. The brand new house, the vacation, as soon as you get home, it starts to fade from your mind. And it doesn't actually satisfy us. So that's one of the problems with trying to overcome coveting. It just never ends by getting what you think you actually need. The next battle with coveting, I really think, is all about the inside. It's really about the inside. And here's what Jesus tries to teach us throughout the Sermon on the Mount over and over and over again. So when you look at the Ten Commandments, Jesus says, this is the problem with trying to live out the Ten Commandments in your life, is that inside there's something wrong with us. And so in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says this about us. And this deals with a lot of the Ten Commandments right here, right? He says, it's from within you. It's out of a person's heart that things come. These evil thoughts, they come from there. Sexual immorality comes from there. Theft comes from there. Murder comes. Adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things just don't come from the outside, from the media we could blame, or from social media, or from our own external experiences. But Jesus says, look, not only is that a problem in our day and age, but there's another problem, and the problem is inside. Inside these things, they wage war at us, or they defile us, what Jesus says. So I started thinking, well, what is the opposite of coveting? If we're going to try to deal with coveting, what is the opposite? I think the opposite actually is a lot to do with this word called contentment. Contentment. It's what we want. It's that satisfied feeling. To be content is really the opposite of coveting. And so I want to look at a passage of scripture found in the New Testament, and I'm going to walk through it real quickly. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 6. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's look at some of these verses together. It says, but godliness with contentment. So in other words, trying to live out God's ways, godly living with contentment, is great gain. In other words, we will make great gain by living out God's commandments if we can do it along with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Now let's just pause for a second, because I read that and I'll be honest. Will we? Will I actually be content with what he's saying here? He's saying, look, if you have food and clothing, right, that's good enough. Now, okay, we're in Canada, so I'll go a little farther. I think you probably need a house because it gets really cold. So, but is that actually what we're content with? See, I struggle, to be honest, because I believe that scripture teaches us that God looks after our needs. And I believe that God provides for us. My stumbling block living in North America is that I think my standards are higher than what he's saying he's going to do for us here. I'm not so sure I'd be content with what God thinks I need. I'm not so sure he's going to meet my standards of living. And so sometimes this is where we go off track, I think. We say, God, you know what? I know you'll look after me. You'll make sure I don't die of starvation. I know you're going to help me out, stay alive here, and I'll probably end up with clothes, and I probably will have shelter. But I have a few other things that I would like to add into my life that I think will help me be content. But here he's saying, Paul is saying to Timothy, look, this is where we're going to be content. People who want more to get rich. Now, at that, what he means there is anyone who has more than that is wanting to get rich. Now, we don't like that, but let's be honest, in the world standards, it's hard to hear, we're rich. We got it. We got it made according to world standards. So those that want to get rich fall into temptation, into a trap, into many kinds of foolish things, harmful desires. They begin to plunge men into ruin and destruction. Hear what he's saying. You're back to what I said in the beginning. God's saying you don't want to covet because it actually destroys the enjoyment of life. Coveting actually plunges us forward and brings about ruin and destruction. For the love of money, he says, is a root. It's a root that goes down, a root that kind of destroys things. It's evil. Some people, he says, are eager for these things, eager for money, have wandered from faith. They wander from faith in God because they want more than what God wants to provide for them. And they pierce themselves. Listen to those words. They pierce themselves with many griefs. Our Heavenly Father wants to provide our needs for us. Will we trust him? And so I'll just finish the rest of the passage, skip down a couple of verses. So this is what Paul says to Timothy in the church to preach to the people in his church. So command those who are rich in this present world. You got to put up your hand. I'm sorry. Most of you, at least like 99.8% of you, I'll give you 2.2 out there. You can email me. Let me know who you are. But all of us says, look, us. So those who are rich in this present world, we need to not be arrogant. We need to not put our hope, set our eyes there. Our hope is what we long for, what we hope for, look forward to on wealth. It's so uncertain. COVID helped us understand that a bit, right? But to put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for enjoyment. Look at that. It's right there. God wants us to enjoy life. He's going to provide things for us so that we can enjoy life. He wants us to have things to for enjoyment. So command them to be good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, willing to share. And in this way, they can lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. So that what? Powerful verses. So that if they do these things, they don't put their hope in the wealth, but they recognize that God provides for enjoyment. That he's asking them to be generous with what God's provided. So this can happen to you, so that we can take hold of the life that is truly life. Jesus said, came to give them life, true life. The contentment, the satisfaction that you desire inside of you, it comes from accepting that God provides good things. And then it comes from having open hands, not putting your hope in hanging on to what God's provided, but actually having open hands, willing to share, willing to be generous. And that attitude of receiving from God, being appreciative for those things, for enjoyment, giving to other people, helps us experience life the way it was meant to be lived. So let's talk about this a little bit in some practical ways that we can apply this. I think what I've learned, at least, is that longing for more creates a dissatisfaction in life. Longing for more of what God hasn't provided for me generally creates a dissatisfaction in the enjoyment of my life. When we, in our neighborhoods, look over the fence, when we look at what other people have, immediately what happens to us is we are unable to enjoy the blessings that God has given. When I look at another marriage, I stop immediately when I covet another marriage, another family, another car, another career, another whatever. I immediately stop enjoying the very thing that God has provided as a good gift for me. That is why coveting can destroy so much enjoyment in our life. You know what James says, the book of James? We won't turn there. James chapter 4, though, I'll give it to you. He says, you know, what's causing so many fights among you in the church? What's causing so many problems? Here's what he says. What's causing them is that you have these desires in you. And it says this in James 4, 1-4. It says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and you try to figure out how to get it. You are jealous for what other people's have, and you can't possess it. So you end up fighting and quarreling. You're wishing you could take it away from them. Here's some of those things, like, that's kind of what we do. Now, there's harsher words in there, right? You kill them. Well, that was a little bit how people behaved in other nations. They'd want their city, they just kill them. For us, I think we just kill them in our hearts. And we'll talk about that in one of the commandments of do not murder. And Jesus said, it's about anger in your hearts. But here's what it kills. It kills your enjoyment of that relationship. Have you ever been so envious of someone else's career, family, vacations, or house, or stuff, that you actually, it kills your relationship with them, that you can't enjoy hanging out with them anymore because you just don't want to see it? And that's what it does. It causes these relational problems. And here's the thing. God says, look, you don't even ask for these things. And the reason that God isn't going to give you this stuff is because you're asking for them and it's all about you. You're not asking to be open-handed like we just read. You're not asking because you want to be generous. You're asking because you're very selfish and you want to keep it for yourself. Wow, that's a huge thing for me that I've had to struggle with and learn. Why am I asking for this stuff? God, why do I want this? Am I just wanting to hoard more stuff? And so I struggle with coveting. And so I've tried to figure out, how do I stop this? You know, how do we get over this? And so I do want to look at a couple things that I think are going to help us. What's the cure? I mean, we talked about contentment. I want to talk about what I think a cure looks like. Okay. So that means, what would we do proactively to overcome coveting? And I think the cure for coveting is humble gratitude. Humble gratitude. Humble means I recognize that what I have already, I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't get to choose where I was born. I didn't get to choose to be in a nation that's one of the richest nations in the world. I have to humbly accept that everything that I've been given, including grace from God, of course, is not something I deserve. It's humble gratitude is the posture that helps us overcome this. It helps us towards the pathway, I guess, down the path towards what we want, which is satisfaction and contentment on the inside. So how are we going to develop this humble gratitude? I think there's some simple ways, and I want to give them to us, and I want us to challenge each other. And you can challenge me, and I'm going to challenge you to practice these over the summer, because if we're going to look at these commandments over the summer, then my heart's desire is that every week, we should be able to practically try to figure out, how do we move towards obedience within the commandments of God? And I think the first one is this, that we need to start counting your own blessings. Counting your own blessings. In other words, stop counting other people's blessings. Count your own blessings. What has God given you already? Here's the thing. I've been blessed. And I think you have been blessed as well. I think God is good, and every good and perfect gift comes from him. And I think what happens is we start counting what other people have around us. And again, the root takes in there. We get full of envy and jealousy and resentment about even what God's provided. So it actually starts to hurt our relationship with God, right? Because we wonder, why, God, why didn't you give me a family like that? God, why didn't you give me that house? God, why didn't you provide for me like that? And so it's damaging a relationship with other people, damaged my enjoyment of life. It's damaging my relationship with him. Counting your own blessings. So here's the challenge. Where are you tempted to covet? Where are you tempted to covet? Are you coveting other relationships? Because maybe your relationship feels really broken right now. Then what I want you to do is I want you to start looking at the relationships that you do have. And I want you to start counting those blessings. What are they? I want you to start looking at what other areas you covet. If it's stuff that people have, then I want you to stop looking. Maybe you need to take a fast from social media, from advertisements. You know, every fourth thing on my phone and social media now is an ad trying to make me want something else, right? But I want you to start counting your blessings. Here's what I've learned about counting. Count top 10. Why not? Let's do in tens. The top 10 things that you think God has blessed you with in that particular area. So if it's a relational thing, or maybe it's a house thing, a living, a career thing, or health thing, whatever it is that you struggle with, go to that area and say, God, what can I count for blessings that you've provided for me in that area? Count to 10 and list them out. List them out. You know what? That's going to be easy. No problem. I want you to do this with him. So I want you to ask him for help. Then I want you to do another 10. Say, God, thank you for those 10, but I want to count 10 more. Okay? The next 10, will take you a little bit more work. You'll struggle through it. And you'll get through those 10 eventually, and now you have a list of 20. We can count, right? I want you to do it one more time. What I've learned is when you get down to the final 10, and you pray and you ask God to reveal, he'll start to show you things that you've overlooked, ways that he's blessed you. As you listen to him and say, God, how have you blessed me in this way? Challenge him. He's okay with that. Say, God, I want to know. I want to count him. Let him bring him to mind. It might take you some time, but I want you to create that list of 30 things. Would you do that this week? You know what you can do? Share those. Share those with me. If you want to email me and share them, I love to hear it when you interact with me. It's great. Where has God been a blessing to you? And when you do that, then pin it up somewhere and count your blessings again and again and again. You know, it's funny. We always count blessings. We always count blessings of people who always have more than us, right? We don't count down. We only count kind of up. It's just our human nature. I went, quick story. I went camping out and I invited Pastor Barry to join me out there. And man, I went camping. We got a trailer a couple years ago. And for us, it was it's a small 19-foot trailer. It's a great trailer. We love our trailer. And I was going to go out by myself. So I made sure I have a good time. And I had barbecue with me. I even had the carpet roll out and the awning and the microwave and the huge generator. I mean, I glamped it. I go out there and it's pouring rain and I parked it in a beautiful spot on the river. Love it. You know, I'm so excited. And I go and I'm trying to find Barry. Barry's supposed to meet me out here. And I go out there and I find Barry sitting under a tarp in the pouring rain with a little tent. And he's whittling himself a wooden spoon to eat his baked beans out of a can. I didn't covet. I didn't covet anything Barry had. I didn't want to be in his situation. I didn't covet his tent and I didn't covet his beans and I didn't covet his spoon. I open-handedly was generous. I offered him a spoon and a place to go and everything else and a barbecue to cook on. But we only covet up. And the funny thing is that same trailer, you know what? I felt so guilty when I was camping near Barry, sitting in the lap of luxury. You know what? 2 weeks later, we go camping with my wife for the weekend. And we pull up. And of course, massive fifth wheels pull in next to you with all the slide outs. And all these amazing things, and you're all of a sudden, now you're coveting. What you had 2 weeks ago was amazing in comparison. We just tend to do that, and we got to stop doing that. We got to get fixated on the blessings of God for us to be enjoyed by us, not to be measured against the blessings of other people. Here's what Paul says in the book of Philippians. So I want to put it on the screen for you. Paul says in the book of Philippians, now in Philippians, he's in jail in this process, okay? And here's what he's saying. And the book is known for joy, for experiencing enjoyment of life. He says, look, I know what it's to be in need. I know what it's like to have lots. I've been on both sides. He was very rich, and now he's actually in prison, barely surviving. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well-fed or whether I'm hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Philippians 4:12. Here's another great passage of scripture for you to go to. If you struggle with coveting, go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and chapter 4. What was the secret? He doesn't tell us right here what the secret is because he already told us. And before we got to this verse, he tells us earlier in Philippians chapter 3, the secret was this. He considers everything he could obtain in this life, his words are garbage, worthless, filth, in comparison to the relationship that he's able to have with Jesus Christ. That he realized that his contentment is not upon anything on the externals whatsoever. His contentment was all about his relationship with Jesus Christ. And that if he had a relationship with Jesus Christ, then nothing he could get would actually make it better or worse. That is the secret. Here's what he says just before we get to this passage in Philippians 4:4. So what does he say? Rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say, always rejoice. Whether you're in want or whether you're in plenty, it's count your blessings and rejoice. He says this, so in your prayer, in your asking, with thanksgiving, present your requests. Such an important lesson he learned in there. The secrets that he learned, right? He hasn't have, He learned that everything is about his relationship with Jesus Christ. He learned that whether things came or went, that if he learned to focus on the internal things of life, he had contentment and satisfaction in life. And he learned that when he had requests, when he had needs that he needed to ask for, that he would always present them with an attitude of thanksgiving for the blessings that he already had. Well, the next thing then is simple. It's thanksgiving before request. And so as you have requests, of course you have requests. We all have requests. There's things that we love for God to do, God to provide for us. He doesn't mind that. He wants us to go to him. The question, I guess, will be, do you trust him with what he'll provide for you or not provide for you? But would you practice something different? This week, every time you go to prayer to ask for something, ask for whatever it is you want, would you go before him first with thanksgiving? Psalm 104 asks us to do this. When you enter into his gates, when you enter into his presence, enter in his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his presence, into his courts with praise for who he is. Give thanks to him and praise him for who he is. That's so important. We know this. We teach our kids this, right? I mean, when our kids, we're generous to our kids and they run off and then they come back and ask for more and they never were, didn't have any gratitude or gave thanks for the last thing, we know that we should probably hold back a little bit. I mean, am I going to just keep providing? If you haven't learned, if you haven't learned contentment, if you haven't learned how to give thanks for the good things you already have, what's that going to do for your character? And so as we present a request before God, of course, we need things. We need him to provide for us. Will we do it with a spirit of thanksgiving before we go to request? The third things I want us to challenge is he said very clearly, Paul talked there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He talked about this open-handedness. I believe this. It's a phrase that we've heard, but it's so scriptural that it is better or more joyful living to give than it is to receive. And I think we need to practice generosity. The more often that we share the blessing that we already have, the more often that we'll feel a satisfaction or a contentment with what God's provided for us. And in order to do this, what it means is we need to open up our eyes a little bit. We need to open up our eyes to see the needs around us. We need to see, not just look at the people who have more than us. What we need to do is look into the lives of people who actually need us to be a blessing for them. And this has been a great challenge for me. And over the years, God has pushed me into this and pushed me into this. And over the years, after year after year, being able to go into Haiti and to look in the face of people who have almost nothing there's nothing I would covet. There's nothing I would desire about their life except for one thing, their joy. Their joy in their relationship with God. It is amazing. And if you've heard other people travel and they go into these countries, they're so poor, and you encounter Christians in those countries, their joy is absolutely overwhelming. It usually brings us to tears when we're in their presence. And God has pushed me in that. And in the last couple of years, God has introduced me to a whole other country, the country of Honduras. And I've been journeying with a family in Honduras. And I talk to them every week, actually. Every week, I hear about how they have no work there because of COVID right now and everything shut down. I hear about how they have no money for food, how they can't get out and shop, how they have no hope of ever getting out of the situation they're in right now. And with the technology, our world is so small. We're without excuse. We can engage people. And you know what? I'm learning Spanish because I don't even know how to speak to them. I use a translator and I'm learning Spanish because it has been one of the most beneficial things for my life in this area of coveting and desiring stuff. I have learned that actually what I already have can be used as a blessing for other people. It's amazing. And you know what? Can I say this? I'll get in trouble for my wife. I love this shirt, but I only get new shirts when, my wife's Father's Day. So I got a nice new shirt and I hate it. And she leaves the price tag on because it makes me sick now. And it's like, okay. It's a gift. I'll receive it as a blessing. Thank you. And I thank my wife for that. But it's become harder for me because I recognize God has been so good, has blessed me so much that I need to now live a life of being a blessing. And the more I move into that, the less I struggle with coveting. So this week, with me, would we remember to count our blessings? I want you to make those lists of 10 and 10 and 10 and get to 30. I want us to go before God with our requests, but I want to first always start with thanksgiving. And I want us to look and open our eyes in ways we can engage people where we can be the blessing, that God could use us to be a blessing. That was God's desire for all of Israel, that if they walked with him through the Ten Commandments, they learned to live life with him, they would in turn become a blessing for all nations. You walk with God, he will provide for you if we can learn to keep our hands open, and he will make you and me into a blessing for so many people. Let us pray as we close, and then we're going to move in time of communion where we really recognize that the best blessing, the best gift we've ever had is our relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your gentleness. To be honest, I know so often I need a kick, and you just put a hand on my back instead. And you guide me away from selfishness, and you guide me into walking with you. I thank you for that. I pray you do that for everyone listening today. Would you show us how to enjoy life by focusing our eyes on the blessing it is to have a relationship with you, the relationship with the people that you put in our life, and that we would be free to enjoy this life to the fullest that you have promised you would give to us. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.